On the line from Tucson, we have Stephanie, and I love what you have on your website. You call yourself a metaphysical master.
Well,
And I like that picture too, by the way. So why don't we go ahead and give the website address for our radio listeners, and of course we have a link to it here on the Jerry Pippen website as well.
okay. Should I go ahead and give that then?
Yes.
It's steph7.net. So it's very easy. Steph7.net.
And I know you call yourself Steph on your emails most of the time.
I get a lot of that.
Every once in a while, I get a formal one with the complete.
Yeah, Stephanie.
Yeah. Me. So you've been having lots of seminars and lots of things happening.
Yeah, we are. Jerry, we're doing. We just did two back-to-back seminars. One at Borders Park Place in Tucson. We do that the first Friday of every month, so that's a lot. And usually draws a standing room only. 60 to 80 people show up quite often. And then we do Bookman's, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Bookman's, but it's a used bookstore, but it's a pretty big franchise there. And they've just asked us to come to the Cactus Wellness Center, which is where our chiropractor is, to start doing a series there, and that kind of thing. So we're out there, but we're not, you know, too much out there, if you know what I mean.
Now, they can contact you through your website, and you actually deal one-on-one with people some as well, right?
Yes. I do phone readings, and I do readings by email. Currently don't have an office in because we live out way outside of Tucson and for various safety reasons. So when I do the seminars, if we have a paid reading, people come and get a reading that they pay for. But at Borders, it's free. And and also at Bookman's, and I do live readings and that kind of thing. And that's a one-on-one with each person in the audience. Can't be very long, but...
Yeah, now the last time we had you on, we talked a little bit about the OM. Let's talk about that again. Explain to our listeners and our new listeners exactly what we're talking about here.
If I can... you're familiar with the physicist Wes Bateman, aren't you, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. Wes helped me explain it even better. Comes from the elves. He said the angels, the Elohim, the realm of the Holy Spirit, the realm of God. He knew just exactly what the OM was. But it's actually it's a yogic or a spiritual discipline that I believe that came from a past life. If your listeners happen to look at the website and you've seen the picture yourself, the red circle of light that's above my head that really almost resembles like a halo, some people have said, is in fact the OM itself. It's a creative force of God. It's the divine sound of many waters, known in the Bible that way. And I send it out of my body. And through physical will, send it from my body, and
Now you've been working with a doctor in connection with the OM, correct?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about that? How that happened, and what actually happens?
I knew that was going to be your next question. well, through testing the OM or through experimentation, it happened that a cancer patient. Actually had what was a laparoscopic surgery performed by the OM. I wasn't anywhere near, really near the person. I was actually asleep. It's hard to explain, but I was asleep. And so surgery happened in my sleep. The OM went in there, I guess, and it removed a tumor because the person was wearing, they had a red mark across their stomach, just like as if they'd had surgery. They went to the doctor, and it's just like they had surgery. And I had done it before I went to sleep, and then I went to sleep. And then the interesting thing, Jerry, is that my left hand was hurting, and then it quit hurting, but it hit me that I somehow must have, through my ferret or however it works must have gone in there and pulled on something because my hand hurt and there was no explanation for it. So the doctor, you know, seeing this and everything, and of course I'm keeping him confidential, decided that to pursue a spiritual agreement, could I send it to his patients that have cancer. And so far I've sent it to a number of them. Depression, he reported back that depression immediately left them, so that's an important thing, if, as you know. And the other thing is that they were doing much, much, much better.
Were you able to target this to this person?
Yes.
Do you physically see these patients, or does the doctor tell you about them, or how is the contact done?
I don't see them at all. We just hear back from the doctor. They don't even know it, Jerry. And you know what? It's better that they don't know it, because it's like a background force working, if you know what I mean. They have no idea. And so he just, I guess, hand-picks them or something, or whatever, and I just have their names.
Have you had anyone with cancer come to you to get you to contact the doctor?
No. All it requires is that I'm in a meditative thing. I go and sit under the cross that we have outside our house, and I send the Om to them for not very long, just a 5 minutes.
So you have to be in a specific place?
Well, I don't. I don't have to. I could be hanging upside down on a palm tree. That's just an expression, but I mean, I could be anywhere and just send it. And I don't have to be up here.
And when did you discover you might have this power or ability?
Well, when I was just little, around 5 years old or so, just before that, moved the ears in my head, moved the inner ear, the small bones, just did it, and I heard a high-pitched sound in my body.
So the Om literally is a
Yes, it is.
You hear it inside your head?
It's on right now.
You hear it right now?
Mm-hmm. I heard it. And then the bone snapped, like if you're coming down from the high altitude or going up to one.
Uh-huh.
My mom, since both my parents have meditated for over 40 years, she knew what it was, and she said, that's the Om, and I didn't know it. Well, you go ahead over 40 years later, the age of 46, 47, 46, I guess, and not by mistake, but I sent it to my husband's broken wrist, and the bone was sticking out, and it healed immediately. And it was just like, well, why don't I just...
When you say immediately, you don't mean instantaneously.
I mean instant... Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
It immediately started healing, and it had been sticking out. It had been sticking out of the... it was broken. I mean, it wasn't just a fracture. It was actually broken. It was sticking out because he'd fallen.
And how long ago did this happen?
And I'm going to say 2002, between that and 2003.
So Jack's your husband's name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so how's Jack now? I mean, his hand, the bone.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine, as long as he doesn't injure himself somewhere else. But I will tell you this, that the Om saved him from bone cancer. And he would tell you that, you know, he's alive today because of the Om, because he went through a cancer thing. But
you literally don't have to touch them or see them or anything. You just kind of direct the power of the Om?
Yeah, you know, you have that thing with your eyes.
Yes.
So if the Om can do laser surgery, then, you know, it could go in and I would think help a person. It could, yeah, not think. It can help a person's eyes. You have to be careful with this because, then you get these people calling you and saying, send it to my son at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be careful because I am able to send it to more than one person at a time. And you know, it's interesting, Jerry, this is one guy that I just sent some encouraging words to in Canada, and the next thing I know, he's sending me an email going, depression has left. I don't have to take morphine. I think you're a healer. And it was just like, whoa, this is, wow.
Now, you and I have done shows before, and we visited off the air before, and you believe your spirituality is closely entwined to the Christian religion, correct?
Absolutely. I consider myself a devout Christian. I consider myself a mystic, I guess you could say, like a mystical Christian, like following Swedenborg type thing, where they believe in reincarnation, but they also embrace the Gospels and, you know, that. And I think the Bible is...
So what do you think about reincarnation?
I know it's real. I know that I could not be sending the Om or doing any of the things that Spirit allows me to do if I wasn't...
Do you have any clue or information or hint about previous lives you've lived?
Jerry, I can't believe you're asking me this. Have you been talking to Rod?
We're talking about Rod Davis, who is helping you write a book, and I'll get into that in a minute.
Yes, I do have a clue. This is so weird. This must be...
No, I talked to Rod, but I haven't talked about this specific thing.
Well, it's a very strange... Well, no, it's not. I'm just going to say it's got to be the Holy Spirit. Yes, I have had a number of people tell me... that they believe that, and these are people that said this, so that they believe I was reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and that has happened, and it's in the book, and it's more than one person, it's more than one event, more than one situation, it's been more than coincidence.
Now the book, it's not finished yet.
No, we're working on, we've got a 34-page chapter-by-chapter synopsis that we're sending to 5 literary agents who are interested, and they've been interested immediately. So we're ready to send it to them and publish and publishers as soon as Rod gets back from Connecticut. But
so this healing, why you? I mean, why do you think you have the gift?
I think, Gary, that the reason probably because I had such a strong desire to come back here and help people. And I do know of a life where I know I believe I was a yogi in India. And as yogis do, they have these spiritual disciplines that they learn through many, many, many hours of meditation, training under a guru and that kind of thing. And I guess that with some of us, I guess with some people are just chosen to do certain things, where other people are chosen to do other things, and my desire to help people has been just almost to the point of obsession. I know that sounds weird, but you didn't really respond about that Cayce thing.
Uh-huh. So in a previous life, you were a man.
A man.
Interesting.
I was a man, and not only, you know, the one of the people that was talking about that thing with Cayce was Wes Bateman, so that was interesting when I met him for the first time. That was an interesting thing.
Yeah, Wes is quite a guy and quite an intellectual.
Yes.
And we, of course, do interviews with him. We have some more coming up, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I can't wait to hear them.
And, you know, I don't want to just brush by the healing, but...
The thing of it is, Gary, is that I'm going to just, to be honest, okay, I lay on the floor and I prostrated myself, crying, reaching out for the hands of invisible people that I knew were coming that needed help. You know, I've been doing this for almost 35 years, and the desire to help them was just absolutely overwhelming, almost to the point where I did jeopardize my health and everything. Various people have told me things throughout my life, certain prophets and people that were of prophecy or had prophecy or the gift of it, and said, you know, the Holy Spirit is calling you to do these things. You can't not do it. And, you know, it was a tremendous discovery to understand that they own the sound, which is the amen and all that kind of thing in the Bible, that I could not... It wasn't just for me, and it turned out to be a tremendous blessing for so many people because of what they experience when it's sent to them at the seminar is just phenomenal. they experience being lifted off their seats, white light, all kinds of stuff.
You mean right there in at Borders, they're lifted off their seats?
Yes. Depends on the person's spirituality. Depends on how receptive. But like Wes was telling me, why people's eyes would flutter when I would send the OM to them is because they were in the REM state, or like a dream, you know, like when your eyes flutter when you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one explanation and that kind of thing. And so it helped me to understand the properties of it, just exactly what it is, and it's a very sacred vibration. So you can't commercialize it, if you get what I'm saying.
This is one of the reasons you operate in the manner you do.
I have to.
And now, what do you hope to get through with this book? Is it going to be a book that'll make people live a better life, or is it a book that'll just marvel at what abilities you have? What are the objectives of this book?
I think the objectives for this book are that it's a guidebook, and it entails experiences in that, but it also will bring in other people's experiences of what they've had experience through readings and that kind of thing. It'll teach people how to, what it is it's a connection to the divine. I believe that the kingdom is, Jesus said, that the kingdom of heaven is within each person. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And I believe that kingdom can be awakened and contacted through meditation, prayer, and that kind of thing. And that each of us are spiritually evolving at this time at a very accelerated rate. And what I hope to do is to show people that they just need to go back to God.
Now, we're reading between the lines here, but are you saying the end times are near?
I think, I know we're in the end times, but it also, if you look at the symbology of the Bible, what exactly does the end times mean? Is the world going to blow up tomorrow? No, because when the Bible was speaking about the last days, it was also speaking about the end of an age. And going, I believe, into another age, if you will.
Somewhat like the age of Aquarius is either coming or going, and that type of thing. So, what age are we leaving?
Well, the.
You think, in your opinion?
I think we're. I hope we're going into the age of Aquarius, or, you know, when Jesus was here. Well, he is here, but anyway, when he was on Earth, it was a Piscean age, and...
I've had people tell me the Piscean age is coming to an end, is that right?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
We're going into, from what I've heard, or what, the age of Aquarius?
Yes, uh-huh. That's what I understand. And I guess there's a period of time, somewhat like in astrology, you're born on the cusp, in which you have a little bit of both happening, and we may be in that time period. I don't know.
We're looking at very catastrophic things, a very, you know...
Well, then there's no doubt about it. You bring that up, and I don't want to talk to you about prophecy here in just a second, Stephanie, because, you know, we have a hurricane that did unbelievable damage, another one... out in the Pacific, or rather in the Atlantic, and in the Pacific, you've got strange things happening with a tsunami last year, and now you got Mount St. Helens erupting again up in Washington State, and then a massive power failure in Southern California, and I believe you said you've literally felt in your prophecy that an earthquake is coming.
Yes.
Now tell me a little bit about that. How does this arrive? This is a prophecy, I mean. I'm talking about how you get the, I don't know, is it a vision or an idea or a thought? Or?
Well, you know, Jerry, remember when I, and you had to remind me of that tsunami thing that I had told you by email. You had to, because I wasn't even thinking. I just said, oh, there'll be an earthquake of biblical proportions on December 29th. 2004, And that was just almost like a casual email to you. Well, it wasn't casual, but you know, I mean.
Sure, I understand what you're saying.
So that was one thing. And then the other day, on the Saturday, just before I talked to somebody that was in the California area to do a reading, give them a reading or whatever, it, literally in the living room, I could feel underneath my feet, I could feel it rocking. And also the sense of it, almost like you could sense it, but I could feel it too, physically. And I went, whoa, well, that was weird. And the next thing I know, I had remembered that I had felt nauseous and that kind of thing. You can look at the animals and the birds and that and how they're acting. And just before, you know, catastrophe, they hide and they know. And
now, if I remember correctly in your email, on the 10th, and on the Saturday after you had this reading, you told me the lady was in, or the man, whoever it was in Northridge, California?
I thought it was going to be in the Southern California. What I determined, though, is that I think we're not done. I think San Francisco, the Northern California area, whatever borders that. And San Andreas, I think, does run in that particular...
Yeah, it comes down south of San Francisco on down to Southern California.
Yeah, and I never email my sister. She's in Palo Alto, and I never email her and say, oh, there's an earthquake. I never do that. And
that's in the San Francisco Bay Area, down on the peninsula.
Right, and I did because I had such a strong warning about that one in 1989.
So in other words, you're saying that you don't think the quake is very far off.
I don't think so because I've been feeling nauseous.
Now this one that happened in
1989.
Yeah, did you have a feeling it was coming?
I knew that I knew my sister wanted to work in the San Francisco area, so I guess it was a year or so before. It could have been a few months before even. My mom kept asking me about should she go work there, and I almost screamed, no, there's danger, whatever I said, I knew it was going to be extremely dangerous, and if she had taken the job, she would have been on the freeway right at that moment, but fortunately she was 30 minutes away from the epicenter in Palo Alto when it struck.
What's your sister do? I mean, you're very talented, and you're quite a singer. And a musician of note, and write things. Is your sister in show business?
No, actually, my sister has written 8 books. She's published...
Well, that's pretty close to show business.
Yes, it was in the educational field. You know, she's been on Good Morning America and everything. She's co-written a book called The Whole Language Catalog.
Uh-huh, an intellectual.
Yeah, so it's, in fact, I'm looking right at it, and it's been like the Bible for teachers. Maybe you've even heard of Whole Language, I don't know, but she's very modest.
Now, your sister's name is?
Lois Bridges Davidian, which is her married name.
Okay, and that's what she writes her books under?
Yeah, well, she would write it under Lois Bridges.
Okay.
And she...
I thought we'd give her a plug.
Yeah, she'd be like, oh, Stephanie, I can't believe you're putting me on there. She's an editor, Jerry, for the Heinemann Institute, and they specialize only in whole language authors. So my sister runs over something like 200 manuscripts probably weekly from these whole language authors. And the whole language gets away from the Dick and Jane method, you know, and goes into to the whole of language, if it's the best way to explain it. So,
now, we're talking. I want to get in more into these prophecies.
Okay.
But we're going to have to mention that this one about the UN. You felt that was going to happen on September 17th, but
it was weird because you could see these things. That came in a vision, and it was a very disturbing vision. It was Al Qaeda. They were bombing the UN. It was in New York. it was, and it gave the date of September the 17th.
And we checked all of the things out, the streets you didn't even know about, and they were all there. So it all checked out. The only thing, maybe it's the wrong September 17th.
You know, Jerry, it could be, and it's like my Jack always tells me, he says, you got to be careful with dates because you don't want to narrow things down. Spirit does give me a lot of insight and everything into particular things that happen on dates, and they do happen on them. But like the Hurricane Isabel, that was just like, watch out for Isabel, watch out for Isabel. I had no idea I was talking about a hurricane. I thought it was an evil woman.
Right, right. Isabel sounds like a witch. And we probably offended every Isabel listening, and we may have several. Who knows? We're just kidding. We're just kidding.
But it was a hurricane, and they named them after a woman. But
well, I mean, so you don't want to get on specific dates, but when we say this earthquake's not far off.
I think with this earthquake, judging, I had a client email me and say, how weird that you said this about the earthquake in Northern California, because I just told somebody the other day that Northern California is due for an earthquake. I just talked to Jack. Told him about the earthquake. He goes, yeah, I definitely feel something coming. So it's not just me. I think they're due. And well, we all know they're due, but just you mentioned yourself, Jerry, that you thought how the fault would be.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, there's all kinds of things out there.
A nuclear charger, you...
Yeah, right, might be able to set something off. We talked about that before, and the FEMA meeting back in August of 2001, in which they had three subjects, and one was a terrorist attack in New York, one would be a hurricane in New Orleans, and then the third would be a major earthquake in California. Two out of three, I don't know, maybe they just employ a lot of psychics there too, I don't know. But it's something to watch and something for us to really happen, you know, if it really happens. And we're not wishing that it will. Do you think, since this thing we talked about last year didn't happen, do you think it can be averted by psychic energy?
Jerry, I think that what happened was when I was looking at the UN, I could see Christ and I could see the Virgin Mary, the Blessed Mother. Just huge, like stories tall that were holding the UN. They were around New York and they were just kind of cradling the UN in their arms. And so, yes, I think it could be averted by prayer. Nothing really is written in stone. There are some things that will happen. And recently I was walking, and there's the angels, there's the seraphim, the cherubim, and all this. And in my vision, and right in front of me, I'm going to say this with boldness, is a seraphim, a flaming angel. They appear with flame, appeared in front of me, in my spiritual vision, if you know what I mean, and imparted something interesting to me, that at the latter end of 2006, that the United States would come under attack by Al-Qaeda forces. But it said that there'd be great protection, and that even though there would be great protection, it literally said that it will happen. So it depends on how they attack or how they just...
You know, I understand what you're saying. Talking about the UN building, a cynic could say, well, that building needs to be renovated anyway. In fact, they've got some contracts out on trying to get rid of the asbestos and to modernize it and things like that. Someone told me, and it wasn't Rod, somebody else you talked to said that you feel that there might be an attempt on President Bush's life.
Yes.
What can you tell me more about that?
It just said Spirit was telling me that there would be another attempt on his life. I mean, this is not a Bush bashing thing by any means, but his popularity is way down. You know, people are looking at what's going on in Iraq. They're seeing, it's like their eyes are possibly being opened as to what kind of government is going on, and there's angry people out there, and there's going to be another attempt. And I just want to tell you that each president, I guess, that was born, elected with a year ending in zero, that they were assassinated.
Well, that is true. We've mentioned that before. That is a fact, that part. No doubt about it. You haven't seen a vision of that exactly, just a hunch or a feeling?
Well, I was told that. And I was told that in when I wrote it to you, it was the same kind of, I say, casual email, like the one about the tsunami, the earthquake.
Right.
It was written to you, or written in that way. And
You know, talking about your emails and things you write to me, you mentioned more than once to me, and I've never asked you about this, and I'd like to find out. You mentioned angel writing. What are you talking about, angel writing?
I believe that the work that the Holy Spirit has me do, and since we do see the angels up here, they pass by the door, the light, we've seen the light up here and everything, I believe that it's angel scribing, or coming from the realm of the Holy Spirit, or the realm of where the angels are. And the reason I call it, that's why I call it angel writing, because it's like receiving information from the angels.
So literally, you're standing there with a pencil and pad, and all of a sudden it starts writing?
I start writing.
You do?
Jerry, I'll tell you something, because it's not automatic writing, and people could say that, but if I start writing something, the Bible says that we need to check the spirits. We need to discern the spirits and see whether they be of God or not. Test the spirits. And so what I do is, if I start writing something and I go, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. No, it doesn't look right. Or that doesn't, maybe I better stop. I start over and I start writing the same thing again. And maybe I'll do it again, and then I write the same thing again. If I do it two or three times, I'm like, okay, this is definitely something I'm supposed to write. And just the night before September 11th, I had been told by spirit that I would have a reading tomorrow. Well, it was told with great urgency, and I was like, well, I'm going to have a reading. Okay, big deal, all right, whatever. No, you will have a reading. Well, I didn't realize that they were talking about an angel reading, angel writing, mm-hmm. and that it would actually be an actual reading to myself and other people. And it started off by saying that right after the attacks, that the henchmen are in a small town outside of Chicago. They're not done. And 2 weeks later, Al-Qaeda or Muslims or whatever, a small group, I believe, was arrested outside of Chicago. And so it was prophetic. And an angel writing, when I do one, or when spirit has me do one, it's always through it. When I do an email reading, answering questions for people or clients or whatever, it's written in a way that I cannot talk or I don't speak, and it's written in a different kind of language and a different.
You don't break out in tongues or anything.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Actually, I do speak in tongues, and a lot of times sometimes I will write an email to someone, and I'll put in the tongues as I see it in my head, and then I'll put in the interpretation.
How do you explain that? Why tongues? What does that mean?
Well, it says, although I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, mm-hmm. It talks about speaking in tongues, that the tongue of fire appeared in the day of Pentecost above all the disciples' heads. And one of the gifts when Jesus left, of course, was going to be the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit would be returned. I will send to you the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit. And with it, they spoke in other languages or strange tongues. Now, it's interesting because it says the tongue of angels, or it says the tongue of men. And so somehow it's picking up what would be a higher language. And it's the only way to say it, because it brings great fulfillment, or great upliftment, I guess you could say, to the person. And I I often speak in tongues. It was a gift by the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, you know, receive the gift of tongues and that kind of thing. It's a gift. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Actually, you praise. You're supposed to be able to praise God in a strange language or different language, because when the tongues of fire appeared above the disciples' heads in the day of Pentecost, then that's when they spoke in those languages. And so it's supposed to be a gift of the Holy Spirit, and you're actually supposed to have an interpreter according to the Bible.
So basically, you believe in reincarnation, and you still believe in basic teachings of the Bible.
Oh, I believe there's no way that the Bible is like written inside me. One of the things that'll happen, like I said, I served in the nine years, counting in different churches, and I was in leadership and that kind of thing, and I did prayer counseling. And one of the things was that you just said something about tongues. What were you saying, Jerry? I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. What did you say?
Well, I was just wondering about your true belief here. I mean, you have essentially a good dose of spirituality and some reincarnation belief, and you seem to be fairly taking the Bible fairly literally.
Well, I do take it.
And I'm just asking how you get it all together.
Well, I think that it's a matter of interpretation. I find that.
Yeah, I'm not giving you the third degree. I'm just curious.
I know that. No, I just, you know what it is. It's like you look at the Bible, and I think that one of the things that has happened for me is that from studying the Bible, I have been able to say, okay, turn to John 3:16. Okay, now turn to Philippians 4:8. Turn to da-da-da-da-da. And anywhere Spirit will give me, somewhere in the Bible where I can direct somebody to it so that they can then feel directed or guided through that scripture. I believe there's a lot of truth in the Bible, but I also believe that the original Greek was taken out through the Gnostics and that kind of thing, where there was reincarnation. Because it says that Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they say something about who's coming, and he says, well, Elias has already come, and his disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist.
The thing that I was curious about was basically, you're a good person. How about these people in the world that aren't so good? I mean, are you saying there is a hell, or they just come back until they get good, or what happens here?
I think that it's interesting that you're saying this, because right now I'm reading There is a River by about Edgar Cayce, and they were trying to reconcile, he had to reconcile this thing with reincarnation as well, because he didn't, it went against his very teachings. You know, he read the Bible every day of his life, every day for one, from cover to cover, for every year of his life, basically. And I had to reconcile reincarnation to myself as well. It says that if a man must be perfect, or he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, you don't live one life and become perfect. I mean, maybe if you were highly evolved or whatever, but it doesn't seem to me that you live.
You subscribe to some people coming back a lot until they get close to perfection.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, Jerry, is that I guess reincarnation holds more grounds of authenticity for me, more so than just saying, well, a man is it appointed that a man wants to die and then the judgment, because it seems that be almost kind of like, well. But see, then it would be also that the church fathers could then put the fear into people and say, okay, you've only got one life, you know, you better
yeah.
be good. And then, you know, if they knew the real truth, I guess what they believe and everything is that they had many lives. Well, we'll just, you know, we're going to come back another time. We'll just squander this life. Well, that's not how that's supposed to be. The soul returns, I think, again and again through involvement and lessons and this kind of thing, in order to return to God.
You met anybody else that experiences the Om besides you?
No.
I haven't talked to anyone.
You know, well, the thing that's exciting to me, Jerry, is that when I sense the Om to people, they can hear it. My dad can hear it. Various.
Yeah, we talked about your dad in the last broadcast. He was very skeptical, college professor type guy.
Yes, he's a retired professor emeritus of historian,
mm-hmm.
published author.
Then he's a true believer now.
Yes.
In the Om.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as your feelings, anything, you can't really nail down the earthquake when it's going to happen?
Well, I thought it was going to be, since I could feel it under my feet and felt nauseous, that would give me at least, I would think, before Christmas anyway. I wanted to say 3 weeks and, you know.
So it could happen any time.
It looks like the months to me are September, October, November. I mean, yeah, September, October, November are going to see some upheaval and that kind of thing. But see, like you said, it would be just very cunning and very clandestine for terrorists to put nuclear charges into the San Andreas Fault, making us think we were having an earthquake. You see what I mean? And I agree with that, because they can do, instead of coming right out and bombing something, be very much in the background doing something, and yet it's there. You know, it's their hands, so.
Well, Stephanie, we're almost out of time. They go to your website and take a look at the, you got a lot of things there. We'll look forward to that book when it comes out, too, by the way.
Yeah, well, we...
Got to find out a little bit more about that when that happens. You keep us informed on that.
I will. Well, Jerry, you know, the Om is being sent in that picture, and it's under and in front of a cross. And so all the things that happened in that picture happened simultaneously. The viewfinder filled with white light. Jack took the picture. He was blinded, and that's what you see. And we feel that it is.
Now, you mentioned, I can't let you get off the air without telling me a little bit more about the angels that walked past your backyard there.
In the picture itself, you mean?
Well, you mentioned in the conversation. You said we see the angels here.
Yes, they're. People have looked at that picture. It's been sent all over the world. Rod sent it all over the world. Rod Davis, and people see angels. They see their loved ones that passed on. They've even seen Ned or Casey. They tell me. I'm just telling you what they said. You can see faces in there that are very beautiful and things that kind of superimpose over there. I was told by spirit there's seven angels in that picture, and I really do believe there are angels, and it's due to the fact that, like, just what was happening out there for an hour trying to take this picture, next thing you know, he can't see me anymore, and so someone or something, as Wes says, from the angel.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an office phone or something? Or do they just go to your website to find you?
They can actually get a hold of me on my business, my cell phone, through the website. They do all.
I mean, we just want to get people that are listening that want to find out more about this. I mean, you know, the problem you have, and it's not a problem, it's a blessing, but lots of people need help.
Yes, Jerry, they do.
They do. And that must be really frustrating that you can't help everyone.
Well, I wish I could, but you know, it says, again, I'm going to quote the Bible, I hope you don't mind, but, you know, it's not meant for everyone to be healed. So not everyone's going to be healed, and they can't have that expectation. Nor can I be let down if somebody just says, oh, no, you know, this didn't work and this didn't work. Well,
Stephanie, I've enjoyed the conversation. It's been stimulating. And I'm not sure how we need to close. You got any closing thoughts?
Just that I think it's time, Jerry, for everybody to really go within, even go to wherever, go to a temple, go to a mosque, go wherever, but go and seek God wherever God may be found.
I'm glad you mentioned the mosque, because I was afraid that you might be pushing the Christian religion alone.
No, no, I'm universal.
So when we talk about terrorists, that could be anybody. And probably is.
Yeah, we've had a couple of our, people in the United States, that, they didn't have to be Iranian or...
So in summary, an earthquake possibly in Southern California pretty soon.
Or Northern
California. That's where you really kind of moved it to.
Moved it to, but I think it could be in between the two. I just know that it's coming.
Well, that's where the San Andreas Fault is.
It is, and then, it's something I'm not just ignoring. It's something I'm paying attention to.
Oh. Well, Stephanie, I've enjoyed it. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Jerry, thank you. I'll be in touch.